Are we allowed to enjoy this?
Keane O'Mahony is literally an opposition scrum half's nightmare.
People say I refereed lots of matches when I actually played.
The Red 78 with Alan Quillen and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Senator Shane Castles is on the line. He's a Fianna Fáil senator and he's calling the government to build a signature stadium for the 2030 World Cup bid. Shane Castles, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. How are things?
It's Ger and Owen here, actually.
Ger, sorry.
No worries. Shane, you, I guess if you're saying we should build a stadium, we'll come to that in a minute, but you are an enthusiastic supporter of a bid for the World Cup. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I suppose the context of this is yesterday, the Minister for Sport, Jack Chambers, was actually before us at the Oireachta Sport Committee, and he was outlining the work that the department are doing, and he mentioned obviously the fact that we've been successful in getting the 2030 Cricket T20 World Cup to Ireland. And so in the course of that debate, he also mentioned the fact that, of course, the government are involved with a joint effort with the UK government in exploring the possibility of having the FIFA World Cup in 2030. So I just asked the question, first of all, how much are we actually spending so far on this bid? So the answer was €500,000. So in the context of, you know, a bid for the FIFA World Cup, that's relatively small money at this moment in time. And I just asked about the stadium infrastructure, the seriousness of our bid in that context, because we've been here before. You know, we remember that the efforts back in the early noughties to try and get the 2008 European Championships with the Scots to Ireland, and, you know, UEFA delegates on a bus going out to fields in the middle of nowhere looking at that. We've been here with the Rugby World Cup. So, I mean, this is only 8 years away, but in 2030, you know, our main stadium, and you know, we know what they are. Croke Park is going to be 35 years old by then. In fact, the Cusack Stand will be nearly 36 years old by then. The Aviva Stadium will be 20 years old. So I was just asking in the context of, like, is this the basis of our bid, or are we looking at providing a signature stadium as part of this bid, or is it a case of just, you know, upgrading what we have? And I think that conversation has to happen hard and fast now, or really there's no point in going down this road again.
So, because the way the story is phrased is that you actually called on them to build a signature stadium, that you were behind that idea, as opposed to asking the question, should we build it?
Yeah, well, I think if we're serious about that bid, I think, it is something that should be considered, that we should look at having a signature stadium as part of that bid. Like, when we look at, the stadiums that the UK are obviously going to put forward, and you look at the level of world stadiums are evolving all of the time rapidly. So you look at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
How much did that cost?
We're talking, I think that cost in the region of €1 billion to provide that. Obviously, that's private finance and they're going to be paying for that for a long, long time.
Yeah, they're €800 million in debt at the moment on that stadium.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But the point being is that, right, in terms of actually landing this, they are going to require stadiums of that magnitude. So the point being is we're either serious about this, we're either serious about providing a world event in this country,
okay,
or we're not.
Are we serious about? And so just to follow through your logic, right? So if we compare ourselves with Spurs and we point out that Spurs are €800 million in debt because of the stadium, and if we're serious about it, we should walk ourselves into €800 million in debt to get a World Cup.
No, I'm not saying that. And Spurs are in debt for a whole lot of other reasons as well.
But they're not actually. They were very, very profitable. They made €200 million 2 years ago before the stadium. So they're actually in debt because of the stadium.
Exactly. But if you look at what the bid is, are we going to look at doing a serious upgrade, say, for example, Croke Park? Now, I made the point that only a few years ago, the GEA carried out an internal report and pointed to the fact that just to carry out the essential upgrades that are required at this moment in time just for Croke Park as is would cost €60 million. So, I mean, obviously we're going to have to look at the kind of facilities that we'd actually have to put into Croke Park to actually bring it up to a standard required, not just on the actual internal aspects of the stadium, but the external aspects around the stadium as well. So obviously the bid and the money that they're spending at the moment is going to look at all of that, and that's going to be quite informative. as to where our bid is going in this process.
Should we be bidding? Should we be bidding? Because it doesn't really seem to make that much sense for us to invest in stadiums when we have plenty of stadiums. We actually have too many stadiums in Ireland at the moment. And the whole notion that we would try and win a World Cup and use that as an excuse to build another stadium is madness. Actually,
well, that goes to the heart of the conversation, and that's why we were having that conversation yesterday in the committee. Should we be bidding at all? You know, that's a fair question. And if not, should we go down the road again of what we did before?
No, let's not bid. Let's not bid. Why are we bidding?
No, that's the point. That's the conversation that we were having yesterday, Jared.
What do you think?
Well, I think it is worthy of consideration. I mean, any time we talk about spending money on sport in this country, I mean, a whole load of different plethoras of things will be thrown out to say, no, we shouldn't. I mean, there is a point.
Well, no one on this show is ever going to say we shouldn't spend on sport. We're the opposite.
No.
We just think it should be spent properly. And spending money on a stadium that is going to be largely a white elephant. What you're calling for is a signature stadium, which is a third major stadium, I presume, in Dublin. Mm-hmm. Or in that area, who's going to be the tenant? When is it ever going to be full? Who's going to use that on a day-to-day basis?
And again, that's the conversation that has to happen now in terms of the major partners that would be in part of this, whether that be the IRFU, whether that be FEI, the GEA, in terms of utilising that, because obviously there has to be a legacy. We've seen this with cities before in the Olympics, where, you know, the Greeks put themselves into massive debt and then they didn't have a proper legacy worked out after that. So that has to happen now.
Has anybody ever had a proper legacy worked out after Olympics?
But then, again, I mean, are we going to say then that there shouldn't be any world events, whether that be the World Cup, whether that be the Olympics?
Yes.
Of course, you know.
Yes, we should never try and host a World Cup. We should never try and host an Olympic Games. It is a complete waste of money. It is the transfer of money from the taxpayer to massive multi-global sports organisations for no other reason than the vanity of politicians. That's what those events are about for the local people. There is no legacy that anybody can ever point to from any major tournament in anywhere in the world that has done anything other than enrich FIFA or UEFA or the International Olympic Committee. That is all this is.
Okay, well, I think that there was a lot of disappointment from a lot of fans that we didn't, because of COVID, actually get to play our part in the European Championships.
So that was three games. This is different. You're talking about building a stadium. We already established the stadium. The first stadium you compared it to was an £800 million white elephant.
Yeah, now let me finish the point. I'm not saying that we have to build a stadium of that magnitude, okay? Because, I mean, as part of the bid, we have to look at what our requirements would be. Remember, the UK are leading the charge in this. So as part of that work, we have to say, well, what would be the requirements on us? What is the kind of type of stadium? Because obviously we're not going to be hosting the final or the semi-finals, okay? So we have to look at what our part in this would be. And that would inform then the type of stadium. So that doesn't mean you're building the €800 million euro stadium. It could be significantly less than that. So we have to look at what would be required as part of that bid, which is what this money is being spent on at the moment. The point I was saying before you came in there was that there were a lot of sports fans, a lot of football fans who were disappointed that we didn't get the opportunity to host those three games. So I think it's not a case of the vanity of politician or the vanity of the Blazers and sports organisations. There is a huge benefit, not just socially, economically as well. The FAI themselves, we had Paddy Bonner in here last week talking about the social and economic gains of the game in the country. So it is wider.
That's an excellent point. Hang on a second. That's exactly the point. Paddy Bonner was in last week talking about the benefits to our health policy, our education policy, our social policy.
And
you're not investing.
And our economic policy.
Okay, Grant. You're not investing in the things that will actually help that. What you're saying is, let's build a stadium that will never be used. How often is Parc Ecuy full?
Yeah, so
how much government money went into that?
No, you skipped over a point. There was a whole section on the economy in that report last week.
On the benefits to the economy. On the benefits to the economy, not from stadiums. And I'm saying you're coming on, you're using the one bit of platform that you have to say, let's build a stadium to try and get a World Cup. Instead of actually saying, last week we had Paddy in, if we spent that money and all the money that we're going to invest in this, because it's not only 500 grand, let's wait and see what happens. The 500 grand comes back and they go, yeah, we've got a chance of getting it. Let's go. And all of a sudden, the blood is up of a bunch of politicians who know that they're going to get on TV and that they're going to get airtime saying, yeah, we're going to need a stadium here. This is going to be great for us. When actually what you should be doing is saying, let's invest in coaching and let's invest in diversity projects and let's invest in changing rooms for all the clubs around the country who are changing in trailers at the moment, because politicians have always used sport as a little football to get on the TV to build vanity projects instead of investing in their local communities.
Okay, well, a couple of things there. The rest of that committee meeting yesterday actually did touch on that in terms of those facilities that are required. And in terms of me as a politician, I am hugely invested in sport here. I was a sports journalist for 20 years. I stood on plenty of sidelines, on plenty of pitches, covering soccer, GAA, rugby, cricket. So, you know, to throw the remark at me in terms of being a politician and using sport, I was in sport long before I was a politician, my
then
friend.
You know,
long before.
Then you know long the worst thing that we could do is build another stadium that's never full.
No, but it goes to the heart of the matter. Should we be getting... You're after answering the question. You don't think we should. You think we should scrap the idea. I'm saying, no, there are benefits to actually getting the FIFA World Cup here as well. But we have to be honest with each other in terms of, if we are serious about doing it, well, then we need to make sure we have a bid and a stadium that actually can win. Otherwise, let's forget it now and not do it.
If we imagine the signature stadium, what does that look like in your head? Where does it exist? How many seats is it? How much would it specifically cost? Because I don't think you've actually specifically said that this morning.
No, but again, that goes to the point of the report in terms of what our role in this with the UK, and that's being obviously explored at the moment in terms of, right, are we looking at what we required from us? Is a 40,000-50,000 euro, a 40,000-50,000 capacity stadium in terms of then the planning process? Imagine we're only 8 years away from this. So, I mean, if we are going to be actually serious about this and need it in terms of the planning process, that would have to be instigated, you know, very, very soon in terms of identifying with whether that be Dublin City Council or Fingal County Council, because if you're looking at North Dublin, West Dublin, that area, in terms of actually developing that. So those conversations would have to happen very, very soon in terms of actually progressing that.
So I'm just trying to get the picture in your head. So you think this is a stadium out in Fingal, North County Dublin?
And like, No, I didn't say that. That's the point. I'm saying that if the report, in terms of working with the UK government, in terms of what our requirements would be, and they set out as part of this bid what our requirements would be, well then, knowing the planning process, knowing that what we'd have to do, that conversation would have to start very, very soon in the early part of next year.
I guess I'm just asking, just theorising, when you actually throw out the idea of a signature stadium, what are you thinking? Like, feel free to throw it out there. Like, what's your vision in your head when you say that yesterday?
Yeah, but again, it goes to the point in terms of what I'm saying in terms of, we look at the world stadiums, we look at the manner in which they evolve, the facilities that they have, what would be required in 2030, which is nearly a decade away. And if we look at the existing infrastructure that we have, that we're probably premising the base, or the base of the bid on, which is a stadium like Croke Park, which is, as I said, by then, the Cusack Stand, which was phase one of that development, will be 36 years old, which needs remedial work as things stand. And it can be. I'm not saying that can't be done. We looked at the German bid, which was successful before, and they went and they remodeled the Olympic Stadium. So it can be done. I'm not saying that can't be done at all. But then we need to make sure and get that analysis done very, very quickly.
We did a piece recently with Peter McKenna for Science Week, and he made the point that actually, if you look at World Stadium, since the Coliseum, things haven't changed that much. There's a central pitch, and then there's a big area around them. And now, obviously, he knows more than anybody else the speed at which things evolve and the science of being able to watch replays and being able to get food and all that kind of stuff. But like, the stadiums we have at the moment are grand, and actually they're never full. So okay, Croke Park is full twice a year. The Aviva is full maybe twice a year on the years where maybe three times a year. They couldn't sell it out for Japan. They couldn't sell it out for Argentina even after that. The football team, you hope, will start to fill it a bit more often, but there's no guarantee of that. And so what we're suggesting as a country is that we need to look into and spend a lot of time thinking about whether or not we should build a third stadium to make Gianni Infantino and his cronies think, oh, geez, the Irish, they're great lads. This all seems like a waste of political time and capital, and when we should be talking about more people participating in more sport more often. That's the fundamentals of what sport and sports policy should be.
So, I mean, on that basis, in terms of, you know, stadiums haven't changed or it's a pitch and so forth, X, Y, and Z, we would never have redeveloped Croke Park in 1992, 93. Would have said, it's fine, we'll leave as is. It's the two stands and the terraces will be fine. We'll just dicky it up and move on.
How do we do on Parc y Cuíve? How successful a remodel and how useful has that been?
Well, again, you know, I don't think that's a fair comparison, given that it was completed just at a time that we then entered into COVID as well. I think,
but it massively ran over before COVID.
I know, but
now they can't get planning permission for the car parks that they need, and the access to it isn't great.
Okay, well, I think again, I think Parc y Cuíve will prove its worth. I think it is a fine stadium. The issues with the planning that you mentioned, I think, will be ironed out. That was just a case of Cork County Board, you know, maybe should have gone back in terms of the pre-planning, engaging with Cork City Council. I think they will get that planning for what's required, and I think that will wash its own face.
How often does the Gaelic grounds fall?
The Gaelic grounds in Limerick or the Gaelic grounds in Drogheda, Ger?
Well, the one in Limerick, yeah. It seems like almost never. Was it full for the Mayo Kerry game that time, or nearly full?
Yeah.
It was close enough to it. My point is that we have massive amounts of stadiums in this country at the moment that we can't fill all the time. Yeah. So let's build another one.
Okay, and that's a fair point in terms of, you know, I've seen top journalists like Martin Brettany, you know, do an analysis on this before in terms of whether we should just go towards regional venues rather than a multiplicity of venues. And that's something that I actually made the point in yesterday in terms of the sports capital grant scheme itself, which is going to be announced in just a few weeks, which goes to the heart of the points that you're making in terms of investing in sport. Okay, so if we're going to be honest in terms of sports policy and how we're investing our money, we actually have the lunacy of the situation across numerous towns and villages in this country where GAA, soccer and rugby pitches all side by side will all apply to the sports capital grant, not get the best bang for the buck, for our buck. And the point I was making last week, which is actually a point I made with Liam Gogarty last week from the FEI and UEFA, was that if we did go towards the European model of municipal grounds, we could get far better return on the money that we're investing. As things stand, it's around 40, 50 million euro a year in the sports capital grants. And I think we can get far better bang for our buck if we actually go towards that municipal stadium model. And I made the point that that requires getting Tom Ryan, getting Philip Brown, getting Jonathan Hill into the room together and say, guys, are we going to move towards that model? Are we just continuing on the path of all three pillar sports organisations just still going on in and applying for their own grants and maybe not getting the best return?
If you spend your time lobbying for that, I will support you 100%. I think.
I do that anyway.
What ends up happening is if we go down and spend a lot of time as a country thinking about trying to host major events, the effort, and so it's an opportunity cost for the organisations. They don't have the manpower or the bandwidth to apply for these massive international tournaments and do all the glad handling and the politicking that needs to be done, while at the same time coming to a massive seismic shift in how we think about sport. So if you engineer social and sports policy in that direction, Shane, you've got the full support of, I think, I would say, most people in the country. But if we start spending our time trying to build another white elephant, another birdie ball, whatever it is, then, like, no, you can't have that. I can't.
Okay. And can I just say on that point, and this is maybe just in terms of what gets covered in here, that was a point I probably spent more time talking about yesterday, but that didn't get covered, that wasn't picked up on, making that point, because I actually spoke to the FEI officials after, and in the week after that launch last week, and actually made that point that I would argue for that, because they are very, and also the fourth pillar in that as well, and an organisation that I've dealt with a lot, is Athletics Ireland. I know in my own hometown of Navan, where Park Villa, who play in the Leinster Senior League, play their games, we have a 1 million euro athletics track for Navan Athletics Club surrounding that as well. That is the model that we should be looking at and trying to actually invest in. So that point was made forcefully by me yesterday, and actually trying, and in fairness, I made that point to the minister. I said, should we just break the funding model that we have as is and actually move towards that type of model in terms of the collaboration of all the pillar sports and municipal stadiums like they have in Central Europe. And he said that was something that they would look at and try and get better collaboration. As I said, that was actually a lengthy conversation, but that wasn't picked up by anybody.
Shane, you mentioned there a moment ago that you do think there are real benefits to hosting a World Cup here. And as you say, the cost of hosting a World Cup here for that signature stadium alone will be somewhere between, say, $500 million and £1 billion. So taking that into account, what are those benefits that you see hosting a World Cup here?
And again, so in terms of when they did the bid for the Rugby World Cup and they presented that to not just the IRFU, but also in terms of to the government, because they acted as a backer of that as well. That's what this report would actually spell out. So in terms of what it would cost and what are the economic benefits as well, it may be the case that when that report is published, that the option of going down and building a signature stadium is taken off the table and they say, no, there isn't an economic benefit to doing this. And if that's the case, well, then you accept that and you say, that's fine. You look at the actual infrastructure we have and the upgrading of that. How much is that going to cost? You know, I think you're definitely looking at a couple of $100 million anyway. If the price tag, which was done a few years ago, so the cost has gone up. I think that was done in 2016. The analysis was done in Croke Park. It was $60 million in 2016. You know, so 4 or 5 years later, what's the price tag now? And what would the price tag be to bring it up to standard required for 2030? You could be getting into the $200 million mark anyway. Anyway, in terms of the upgrades. So in terms of the cost-benefit analysis and what's required, the report's going to set that out. If that says no, take the signature stadium off the table, that is lunacy. Of course you accept that. But if they say, in terms of the economic gain to the country, is X, Y, and Z, and the figures stack up, Jerry's made the point that he says, no, it's never stacked up in any other city, in any other host city, well, then you accept that.
But you said there are benefits earlier. You said there are benefits to hosting a World Cup. So what are they?
Of course, there's economic benefits in terms of the spend. We know that what the spend is on every single Six Nations game and what the spend is to Dublin City Centre in terms of hospitality, in terms of hotels, what that brings in terms of VAT revenue. We know the social benefits to cities as well and bringing foreign tourists in.
And like, do you think that's worth, like, I mean, of course, there needs to be more research done into the exact figures, but do you think that that's worth the $500 million to a billion? Like, just if we're saying that that's the figure, do you think that's worth it?
Well, again, the report would point to what the economic benefits is. You know,
what do you reckon? What do you think? What do you think?
But again, you both know from going to away games for either the soccer or the rugby, you can't put a pure economic benefit. There is an intangible social benefit to hosting something as well.
And like, what are the social benefits?
You know that as sports fans, what that brings, just the bond of people, bringing people to a city, the bond of people. It's what makes sport. We knew it when we didn't have, when COVID came. We missed it when we didn't actually get to go to stadiums.
What's the long-lasting social? Is it like what is the, can you just explain that, the tangible social benefit that you mentioned there?
The sheer joy of having people in your city from other countries for hosting a world event. The sheer joy I know I get when I go to see Ireland play abroad.
And is that worth half a billion to a billion quid, do you think?
But then there you go. That we're again a sports fan saying, well, no, we're never going to play our role on the world stage in that respect because we just think it's too much money and we'll never go there. If that's the case, well, then let's scrap the conversation and we'll never have the conversation again.
Okay.
The conversation has obviously come back up again. It may be the case that it may be the case that no, it's not a runner, and let's just forget about it.
But
let's be honest, though. You know,
this is Boris Johnson's flight of fancy, and we are absolutely helping him to go. I'm delivering a World Cup for London, for the UK, and we're like, yeah, we'll prop you up, no problems. And it probably suits the FAI, in fairness, because it helps them to get friendlies from England when they need them, and, you know, there's definitely a connection there. And I understand from the FAI's perspective why they would try and reassert themselves on the global stage and get reintroduced into rooms that they haven't probably been in since John Delaney. I understand from their perspective what the involvement should be. But the Irish government should be saying, I'm sorry, but we are not going to help Boris Johnson at this moment or his successor to deliver some kind of weird Tory triumph, because that's what we're doing. We're propping up Boris Johnson. We are an enabler of Boris Johnson in this process. And that doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, well, I don't think anyone of any party would try to be facilitating a flight of fancy by Boris Johnson. I'm not too sure
he's.
I'm not too sure he's too many fans around here. But, you know, the point is that there is now going to be a report commissioned or is underway. We'll see that when it comes out. As I said, if it is a case that it points to an upgrade of existing stadia, but then we have to be serious. Is that going to be good enough? And what that upgrade is going to be? Okay, so I mean, in terms of...
I hope not. Like, it's a waste of money.
Let me finish the point, because the stadium that we have are okay for the domestic sports that we have.
Yeah.
And we looked at this before in terms of the Rugby World Cup, where we looked at, we think the stadiums we have are fine, and they are for what we have to do. But in terms of then what's required, even going down to things like, you know, media centres, international media, what they're required in terms of a press box. You guys know from stadiums around the country, and I've been in most press boxes in the grounds around this country, some of them are like chicken coops. They're not a whole lot better. So, I mean, in terms of even just that basic principle of what would have to be spent to upgrade them is significant.
Yeah,
and so we have to be serious about this in terms of, right, are we actually going to go and do this properly?
No, hopefully is the answer. I hope people will make their own minds up about whether or not this is a flight of fancy. Okay. One last thing, I think today there's more conversation around sports capital grants. Is that correct? Is there another hearing today for the sports committee?
No, we're not in hearing today. But I did ask the minister yesterday in terms of how much additional money is actually going to be put in, because in the budget, the Minister for Public Expenditure, Michael McGrath, had said in his budget speech he was going to make more money available. There's around 200 million euros worth of grant applications that have come in. So we want to try and make sure, you know, this is a problem for sports clubs. A lot of clubs will put an application in. They might get some money, but then they don't get enough, and it doesn't allow them to actually get the project off the ground. The large-scale infrastructure grants that came out just before Christmas 2019, there were some 36 projects that actually got granted, like Connacht Rugby got granted. My own grant in Appin Park, Dalton got granted. A huge amount of them, I think 90% of them or more, haven't actually started construction yet.
Okay, because of COVID. I totally understand that. Sorry, I was maybe there's something else happening today, but the spend on the Ryder Cup is something that comes up, or the spend on, for example, the yacht race that was mooted last year. Should we be spending money to bring the Ryder Cup to Ireland, or is that something that actually private benefactors who are going to benefit from it the most should foot the bill for?
Well, I mean, I suppose we, you know, we've seen the benefit of when we had events in the K Club and so forth before.
Did we?
I mean, again,
did we see the benefit of that?
Again, but then again, that goes down to in terms of actually doing these reports in terms of, right, what was the spend by international visitors? You know, they do reports beforehand, they do reports afterwards. Okay. What was the spend by international visitors?
And it'll be interesting to see exactly what the benefit of 7 was. So that's a fair point. Shane, you've been good with your time. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Enjoyed it, guys. Enjoyed it. Take care.
Senator Shane Castle's there giving us his thoughts on a signature stadium for our World Cup bid.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.